to People Like Us, a podcast for and about third culture kids everywhere. I'm Jen Mohindra. I'm also a TCK, and I have a Facebook group for TCK adults called, unsurprisingly, People Like Us. Hello, and in today's episode of People Like Us, I am delighted to be joined by Julia DiMauro. Julia, hello and welcome. Thank you for joining me today.
Hi, Jen. Thank you so much for having me on your amazing podcast. I'm really looking forward to our conversation.
Brilliant. Me too. So without further ado, we'll kick straight off. And as always, the very first question, would you like to tell me about where you grew up?
That's such a good question. And also, I'm delighted to be able to give the full extent description of this, because I usually give a short version. So my parents are Italian, originally from Rome, and they became expats in 1989, and they moved to France, to the south of France. So that's where I was born. And 9 months later, they moved back to Italy for, I think, 2.5 years or so. And then that's when my brother was born, of course, and we did Rome for a year, and then Pescara for 2.5 years. And then after that, they decided to move back to Po, the original city where I was born. And we stayed there for 2 years. And after those 2 years, we moved to Paris for 2 years. And then we moved to Gabon in Africa for 4 years, where I spent the most amazing years of my life. And then at the age of 12, we moved back to Paris. So I consider growing up between France, Italy, and Gabon, because that was my childhood part. And then I continued to move when I was an adult, but that's a different story.
Oh, that's a nice mixture you have there. So yeah. I'm going to ask, moving to Paris at 12, it seems from speaking to many TCKs that the traditionally tricky age to move is anywhere between about 12 and 15. And that's kind of not surprising, you know, puberty kicking in, difficult teenage time. How was that for you? Because not only was it an international move, it was going back to somewhere that you had lived before.
So when we moved, there was not really an anticipation to it. It was quite abrupt. And I kind of left without saying goodbye to any friends. Also, back in the days, there was no internet in Gabon. So no ways to contact people anymore. And I landed in Paris, where things were completely different. In Gabon, no one cared what you were wearing, no one cared if you were white, black, Arabic, or whatever. Like, we were all together all the time. And I moved to Paris, where people cared about the materialistic things, and I was going to international school, but still I didn't feel like there were people alike. Also, I had a very African accent in French, which was really weird because, I was white. So I suffered depression because of it. I was depressed for 10 years after that, so from 12 to 22, because I felt like basically my world crumbled apart, and because I felt like people died on me. I felt like I would never go back. And later on, I found out that this is typical TKC feeling of death, even though people didn't die, right? But like of dealing with trauma of leaving people behind and cutting any kind of link to them, right? So for me, it has been tricky in that sense for many years to go back to normal.
So what helped you during those difficult years?
What helped me? I think the only thing that managed to get me out of it was to move again.
And where was the next move to? So
when I was 17, I moved to the UK to start university, and I felt a little bit more liberated and able to pick friends that were more alike when I was at university rather than here in Paris. Also, you know, having Italian parents, they're quite traditional, so like being at home was, you know, it was more difficult to navigate which friends I was leaning towards or if I could go out with friends and so on. So for me, it helped me to have another dream and another step for myself and moving away from Paris and you know, the situation here. So that was my way out.
Was that a move that you did by yourself to go to uni?
Yeah.
And can I ask, whereabouts in the UK did you study?
I studied at Nottingham University, and later on I started teaching at Manchester University as well. So
Okay. How was it for your brother then? Because you said that your brother was born a little after you. Was his experience similar to yours?
It was completely different. So he is 3 years younger than me. So he would have been about 9 years old when he moved back to Paris. And so he was more inclined to make friends and so on, because the Gabon experience, he was very little, so for him, you know, he was still attached to my parents and so on when he was nine and he moved to Paris. And also he never saw it as a burden as much as I did to move. So I guess different personalities, different age types as well. So yeah, it was a totally different experience.
It is a fascinating topic, and it's a question I often ask because it's so interesting how siblings can have such a different experience of some of the moves that we had. And I say that from my own experience as well with the older brother that I grew up with. So Julie, you mentioned that you continued moving as an adult. What happened after the UK?
So the UK, I landed in the Netherlands, and I'm now here since 6 years, and it itches me to leave again. So I'm actually right now in the process of thinking about moving again. Yeah.
And do you have thoughts about where you might like to move?
You know, it's a great question. I have a list of three places, the US, Spain, and Curaçao, which are completely different from one from the other, but it's because they all have different things that I'm attracted to. So, you know, I now, as an adult, a lot of people say, okay, you should pick the country where you will settle. But I know I will never settle. So for me, it's just another destination where I will have some time, maybe 5 years or so, and then probably I will move again. Unfortunately, it's a feeling that I can't fight, and every time I've tried to fight it, I was not really myself. So kind of learn to just go with it.
So that sounds like a very classic TCK feeling, the whole sort of rootlessness and restlessness and that urge to move every so often. With the three countries that you grew up in, and then Netherlands on top and possibly more countries to come, what makes somewhere feel like home to you?
To be honest, I've searched that answer for so many years, right? but for me, home is myself. And no one can take it away. And for me, places and people are just adding up to my home, but they don't need to be physically here to make it feel like home. So yeah, that's my only way to define home, actually. So
home is within yourself, and therefore you can take that anywhere, which is
exactly, which is great, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you think about where you might like to go next, what are some of the factors that you would consider with the next move?
I have two factors, actually. The first one is professional related. So I think that, of course, in the US, it would be much easier to succeed with what I'm doing for my business. I'm in the architecture and real estate field. So, you know, it's really set out to be a successful journey. And, you know, Curaçao would be more for well-being and, you know, really releasing stress and, you know, still have my business, but just, you know, have it in a more relaxed environment. And then Spain would be just a place of transition. So thinking about Spain, I would just move there for maybe 1 year or 2 years to give me time to think about the next step. So yeah, this is a little bit, you know, it's hard because being single, not having a house, not having a car or anything, I can do everything, you know, my laptop allows me to work from anywhere, and that's how I designed it to be. But you know, it's hard to make some decisions because it's not like you have family somewhere or like that you feel like, you know, you have to be in a specific place. You know, when nothing is sure, everything is possible. So that's what I say all the time. So yeah, it's well-being and professional life. So
I hear you. A laptop, a mobile phone, and good Wi-Fi. That's what we need.
Exactly. Exactly.
What's the appeal then of Spain to have a year or two to think about the next move? Why not just stay in the Netherlands?
I just feel, it's funny, I just feel like there is not much more to explore. I feel like the mentality is extremely different from mine, and therefore it's hard for me to meet new people all the time that might be more than friends. So I think that moving into a different place where I can still explore, where there is maybe a different mentality that suits me better, would be more beneficial to mm-hmm. me.
So on that then, you know, meeting new people, making new friends, how is that for you? How do you find that?
It's, I think like any TKC, TCK, I'm dyslexic by the way, so
there we go.
I think that we're all super sociable. We can have a conversation about anything with anybody. And that's great. And most people will find that they have something in common with us because we had so many experiences, right? But they only turn like true friends when there is a real, real deep connection. And I feel like I have a lot of people that I know and a lot of friends overall and everywhere in the world, but the true, true friends are only a couple, because those are the ones that can truly understand me and where it feels like they know you better than you do, and it feels like home, right? But friendships overall throughout my childhood have always been a challenge, because I was always the new one, you know. Mm. and people tend to outcast the new one. So I you know, I was also very different in a way, because I also had my depression, and so it was never easy to fit in. And as soon as you were fitting in, then it would be time for another trip, right? Mm-hmm. So it always felt like, why should I invest so much time and getting attached to people if I'm gonna move in like a few months all over again? You know, it's difficult, I think.
What was it like then as a kid when you had the moves? Did you get much notice? Or I see you shaking your
no.
head.
No. So the company that my parents working for, they were doing everything last minute all the time. So the notice would be maybe 1 month or two. So if it was during the summer vacation, you could not really see your friends. You would expect to see them like back in September, but would be gone. So I think that's the preparation was rubbish, if I may say. And I think that there was this thought that, okay, they're kids, like they will adapt anywhere. Like, you know, like people tend to just rub it off and say like, ah, they'll adapt again, it's fine, like they're with their parents, like that's all they need. But that's actually not the case, I think. So you start putting references points somewhere else, because, you know, normal child has their reference points in their house or in with the people that they're surrounded with, or as a child that moves all the time, you start putting references in different places. So for me, for instance, like the series Friends is something that is special to me, because every time, no matter where I was in the world, if I would watch Friends, it felt a little bit like home and like my childhood, and I would just relax, right? Or, you know, it could be anything. It could be little objects or little things that you keep from one country to the other. So your reference points are completely different than normal.
So you're like your own personal anchors that you've had along the way.
Yeah.
You mentioned talking about your profession and that you can take that anywhere, you know, as long as you've got a laptop, mobile, Wi-Fi. How do you think your nomadic upbringing has influenced your career choices?
I still remember being a manager in an architecture office and having to sit down for more than 8 hours in front of my laptop in the same office every day. And I used to dream about other places I could be and feel like I'm wasting my time. So when I started my own company, I wanted it to encourage traveling. I wanted to design it so that I would have to move all the time, right? So I was helping architects and engineers to find projects abroad. So I was helping them to connect with people from all around the world. So my excuse was like, I have to travel for work, you know. And then COVID hit.
Yeah.
And then when COVID hit, I was not able to do that anymore. So my thought was like, okay, how can you still be traveling after COVID and change the business model to make it work. And I started thinking about, well, the internet is there, so now we can all connect through the internet. I can coach people through the internet. I can do consultation through the internet. So now I can really be anywhere, right? So all doors are open now, which is great. So it's definitely influenced it, for sure.
Absolutely. So I'm going to ask you how you respond to the notorious difficult question for us, which is, how do you manage it when people ask you, where are you from?
I usually answer from everywhere and nowhere. And I usually say that, you know, my parents are Italian. I was born in France and I grew up in Gabon because that's how I feel. And it confuses a lot of people, of course. But yeah, it's in a way, I'm proud of that because it made me, right? So yeah, it allows you to be the connector of people because you don't really have for my part at least, I don't have a judgment on people, or I don't have a political side or a team that I follow or something, you know. So I'm always like the referee in between people because, you know, I don't really have like a side to pick, right? So it is a powerful thing.
It is. And do you find that you have several responses at the ready, depending on what the situation is, who's asking?
Not really, because I tend to be surrounded with people that have travels. I want that. So it's people that either are expats now or that have traveled in their adulthood, not necessarily TCKs, but definitely people that have traveled. So there is not as many questions as before. Yeah, I think, you know, it's so deep into my values to be a TCK that I kind of attract people that are alike. So it's never been a true problem.
I hear you. There's that natural gravitation towards people that just get it, even if they haven't had it in their childhood. But to have lived in another country, rather than, as we refer to them, the monocultural people who've never experienced living somewhere else, there is room for a deeper level of understanding. So when did you discover that being a TCK, a third culture kid, was a thing?
That's an interesting one. I think it was definitely a couple of years ago. I don't think it was even that long. I think I stumbled upon it through a conversation with a TCK. And he told me the term, and I was like, is that a thing? And then I went and looked for it, and then I was like, oh my god, like. And then myself, I started researching it. I started interviewing more and more people that were either friends or connection, and I realized, like, okay, they're like me, like, you know, I never thought about it from that perspective. And then I ended up telling them, like, okay, you're a TCK, and they're like, oh wow, that's so amazing. And like, it basically changes your whole perspective of belonging. Because for many years your parents tell you you're from their nationality, but somehow something is off. So like, you know, my parents are Italian. They always refer to me as an Italian, but I'm not Italian. Like, you know, I don't have the same values. I don't have the same perspective. So I always felt like a misfit at home being Italian, and at school being like the French one or the Gabonese one or something. So once I knew about this, it shifted my whole perspective completely. And I realized, okay, it's because of this that I'm different. It's because the qualification was completely different. And I think that more parents should be aware of that, you know, and more children or adults should be aware of that, because it helps a lot to know that you're a TCK, because then you can relate with other people. So.
It's often almost like a light bulb moment to discover that there is a name for us, and more importantly, yeah, that there are other people like us out there, because, you know, as you have described, we've often spent much time feeling like the outsider, like we don't belong, like we're on our own with this. And then to have that realization of, oh, there's people like me. It's so liberating, freeing.
Yeah, and also, you know, there are some communities that there is a lot of third culture kids together, so they don't really feel it, right? Mm. But for my case, like, people were always saying, like, why are you friends with this nationality and this nationality and this nationality? Like, why aren't you not friends with, like, Italian people or, like, French people? And then it opened up my mind to say, like, okay, all the people that I speak with are actually third culture, but, like, one is, like, from Iraq, moved to the Netherlands and something, or, like, the other one was Chinese but moved to Norway, and, you know, so there was a whole link that I never saw before. Mm-hmm. But then we kind of realized, like, okay, that's why we're, you know, we get each other even though we're completely different, right? So...
Absolutely. We all have our own unique experiences and stories, but just by the nature of having had that nomadic upbringing, we have this, it's like an unspoken level of understanding. And it's a beautiful thing when you find that, because having to explain all the time just gets tiring.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
So have you been back to Italy as an adult?
Yeah, of course. I mean, my grandparents and my uncles are there. So, you know, keep going back every year. This year I'm going for a wedding, you know, or Christmas or Easter, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's nice, but you feel like, yeah, it feels partly like home because it's still people that you know since childhood, but you feel like you missed out in a way.
Mm-hmm.
You missed out on the family thing, and you missed out on having your family around in difficult times. And so, yeah, that's my feeling about it.
Sure. It can be a strange feeling to sort of be in a place where you are kind of from,
mm-hmm.
but doesn't quite
but you're not.
Feel like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I'm going to ask you a question which is quite broad, but tell me about what you think have been the best things about being a TCK.
That's a difficult one. I've seen kind of both sides of the medal myself, right? Because one part I was really depressed, and one part I was really powerful in business and everything. So I've seen a little bit of both ends. But for the positive side, there is one thing that to me I came across, and I think that many people TCK also feel like this, is the power of understanding and persuading any type of people to do anything. It sounds really weird. But, you know, you are able to understand anyone that you have in front of you because you had so many experiences. So after many years of being a TCK, you realize I've already met this type of person before. So you can kind of anticipate and draw a picture of what that person is like in the first few minutes, you know, and you are able through that to pick the right words and the right intonation and the right point of view to convince them of something that you wish to convince them of. I'm talking purely about business in this case, but for me, it's really powerful. Like in any networking event I've been in real estate, I was always able to open the jar, you know, and make someone very tense, very relaxed, and make someone very hurt and not wanting to share about their personal life very open, right? Because we have this ability to be empathetic, to be good listeners, and to also guide people in a non-judgmental way to what they want to pursue or what you want to pursue as a group. So for me, that's super powerful. And I don't know if you can relate with me.
I was just going to say, you're describing the TCK superpower.
Yeah. Yeah. And don't get me wrong, it can be used in an amazing way. It can also be very scary.
Very scary?
Yeah, I mean, you know, put in the hands of the wrong people, it can be used in for wrongdoing. I've met also some TCKs that, you know, are more taking advantage of this gift to, you know, get what they want in a non-Christian way.
Sure. But, you know? For us, we'll look use it in a positive way.
Yeah, indeed.
And what I'm hearing is that it's about being able to communicate people and recognize and be open to our differences that enables us to communicate effectively with all sorts of people. And that is our TCK superpower, for sure.
That's very true.
Julia, as always, these podcast episodes fly by, and we've come to the end of our 30 minutes together. So at this point, I would like to thank you so much for your time today. It's been super interesting. Thank you.
Thank you, Jen. I really appreciate it. I loved all your questions. So thank you for having me. It's really good to, you know, talk with someone that has the same experience and really dive deep into these questions. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure. Thanks. Thanks for listening to People Like Us. If you'd like to join an online community full of people like us, hop over to Facebook and search for People Like Us. You'll find my group, and you're very welcome to join us.